And I will tell you this, I am certainly one who will defend the rights of our citizens to speak out. Whether I agree with their speech or not, the Sierra Club has an absolute right to defend their views, as does the NRA. Planned Parenthood has an absolute right to defend its views, as does the National Right to Life. That is the way our system operates. And campaign finance reform is all about lower the limits, restrict the speech. And what happens is the only people who can win elections then are incumbent politicians. Because incumbent politicians have armies of lobbyists and entrenched interests that raise the money and fund them. And any challenger that comes across has to raise the money. And if you don't have an army of thousands upon thousands of bundlers, you cannot effectively challenge an incumbent. And that is not the unintended effect of these laws. That is the intended effect. Our current system makes no sense. Right now, we have super PACs that are speaking on the sidelines. And you have politicians who played games. They speak. Since they cannot speak directly under the law, they simply will say, "Who will rid me of this troublesome cleric?" And a group springs up and speaks, and if this group is supporting you, you kind of hope what they say bears some resemblance to what you believe, but you're not allowed to talk to them. So if they happen to get it wrong, there's not a darn thing you can do. A far better system would be to allow individuals unlimited contributions to candidates and require immediate disclosure. As John Stuart Mill said, let the marketplace of ideas operate. Let more speech counter bad speech, rather than this silly game we play right now. Now, I will note there are a series of canards that get discussed in this issue. The number one canard is money is not speech. We can restrict money because it has nothing to do with speech. That statement is categorically, objectively false. Money is and has always been used as a critical tool of speech, whether publishing books or putting on events or broadcasting over the airwaves. And I would suggest to each of the witnesses and to everyone thinking about this issue, ask yourself one question. For every restriction that members of Congress or advocates put forth, ask yourself one question. Would you be willing to apply that same restriction to the New York Times? And let me note, the New York Times is a corporation, so everyone who says corporations have no rights, fine. There are some who say, let's restrict political speech within 90 days of an election. Very well, then. Would you be willing to say the New York Times may not speak about politics within 90 days of an election? McCutcheon said, you can't tell citizens they can only support 9 candidates. If they want to support 10 or 11 or 12, they're entitled to do so. If you think McCutcheon is wrong, would you be willing to tell the New York Times you may only speak about 9 candidates or only candidates in New York? Look, those restrictions are all obviously and facially unconstitutional. And I would ask you, why does the corporation like the New York Times or CBS or any other media corporation, in Congress's view, enjoy greater First Amendment rights than individual citizens? Our democratic process is broken and corrupt right now because politicians in both parties hold on to incumbency. We need to empower the individual citizens, and I'll say this in closing. I agree very much with Justice Hugo Black, who famously said with regards to the First Amendment, the words "Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech" means exactly what it says. No law means no law, and we should be vigorous protecting the rights of individual citizens to be engaged in the political process and to hold every one of us on both sides of the aisle accountable. It's the only thing that keeps our democratic process working. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Udall.